Today, turn this thing on. Okay. Today I want to begin to get into a time of a message to where you would be able to understand some things that are going on with you and why, I don't know, maybe sometimes you don't have clear indication from God that you think, because there's so many things going on. Oh, I got to dismiss the kids. Thank you. Have a good time. And so we got so many things going on that it's hard to really at times pay attention to God. Don't you believe that? And it's hard to understand why we don't hear God more. Because don't you think God really wants to speak to you day in and day out? And don't you think that He wants to have your undivided attention? But as we try to listen to God and talk to God, we get into a time of meditation and even reading His Word. We go, Lord, I need some direction. Well, have you been able to pay attention to both sides of the track? Thank you, Chris. Did that file ever open up for that? Did it? Good. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. This last month, and we're already in February. I got ready to put the slides up yesterday, and I go, wait, it's January. It's like, no, wait, it's February. So here we are in the second month of 2014, and we began to share quite a bit on, I think, the mind and renewing of the mind and casting down those vain imaginations, and it's going to be vitally important, as everything from God's vitally important. So we always say that. It's vitally important, you know. All of God's information and words to us is vitally important. But I believe for 2014, we've got to understand casting down those vain imaginations that exalt itself against the things of God. And so as much as we want to try to tune into God, be tuned to Him, follow Him, listen to Him, obey Him, we find out that it's not always that easy, because there's things around us that takes the time from us, or it causes confusion within us. So today I want to say, listen, God is speaking. Do you believe God is speaking today? He will continue to speak until He sends Jesus back, amen. And He comes and returns back. But anyway, we know that He is speaking day in and day out. How hard or how easy is it to hear God? How hard and how easy? When God speaks to you, do you hear His voice clearly, or is it difficult at times to distinguish Him from the noise around it? Thus, with me trying to begin the message here, Chris playing some music behind it and all that. That is going on in our minds. I don't think it's just going on in mine. I think it happens to a lot of us in here. Do you agree? That we've got a lot of stuff, you know, the mind and our brain and our hearing and all these things that we do inside us here. It's just phenomenal the way God has put us together. And I know the women are multitaskers, and that's probably hallelujah for that. Men aren't. But even in our thoughts and our minds, we can only really need to be functioning properly and effectively. You can really only focus on one thing at a time. I know as much as we try to do three things at one time, it gets somewhat difficult. It gets overtaxing at times because we're not made that way. I mean, we can do it for a short time, you know, but something's going to lose out. Something's going to be, oh, I missed that step. Oh, I forgot that. And so to do your job effectively 100%, you pretty well need to stay focused 100% on what? Your job. Ask anybody that uses machinery or farming equipment or anything like that, that if you don't keep, or in assembly lines or something, if you don't keep your mind on your job, chances are in that career that you have of 25 or 30 years, you will probably be missing a finger, an arm, or even death if you don't pay attention. And so it's so important. And that's the thing about us and hearing from God, listening to God, and what God wants to put into us is that we have got to at least sometime during the day, at least once or twice through the week, I don't know, but we need to be able to hear nothing but, nothing, repeat after me, hear nothing but God. Enough of the world stuff all the time bombarding us, amen? Just like that music as I was trying to talk, you know? And even that was kind of like praise and worship music. That was kind of good, really. But it's only good when it's in its time and place that it should be. And so we can have a lot of good things that we do, and that's been talked about before, that we think is good, and it is good, and we think, well, the Lord will be happy with that, but if it's not done at the right time or it's causing confusion, it's not good. So, when God speaks to you, do you hear his voice clearly, or is it difficult at times to distinguish his from the noise around it? We realize that I don't think God is going to yell at us a whole lot. You know, I think God says, if I can't even just talk to you and even whisper to you, then I really don't want to yell at you to make you get your attention to what I want to say, because you're not really listening to me. It's so much better to have a conversation than just talking back and forth. It is difficult to hear his voice. If it's difficult to hear his voice, is it sometimes he is, let's see, if it's difficult to hear his voice, is it something he is doing to cause the difficulty to hear it, or is there outside interference causing this distortion? And what brings this all about is, because remember, I'm thinking about the mind, I'm trying to help us understand how important it is to tune into him, how important it is to cast down these vain imaginations, how it is to cast your care upon him, how it is to let go and trust God, that to be able to do all these things, we got to be tuned to God. If you're going to let go of things of this life and things of your past and trust what God says, you've got to hear from God. And you've got to believe in God. And you've got to trust God that what he says is what? Right. And that you are important. That you do have a purpose, that he does have a plan in you that he wants to fulfill if you will just allow it to come to the completeness of what he has for you. So this week or two back now, I had an email come in, and it had to do through a book company or something like that, and they always send out things and new titles and new writings and things that people are getting ready to release. And the title of this, Crash the Chatterbox. Crash the Chatterbox is the title of this book. And it says, it's hearing God's voice above all others. I thought, well, that's intriguing. We've just been kind of sharing on this a little bit this month about hearing God's voice and believing what he says and being able to let go of things that the world or that the devil wants to keep on us, or even sometimes that I want to keep on myself. You know, forget the devil, forget the world. It's things that Tim wants to keep on himself. And so when this came across, I began to read it, and they gave me an opportunity to download a chapter and a little introduction of it. So if I could, just let me read a little bit about this introduction. Chatterboxing. I wish I had a little devil on my left shoulder. I could flick him off and tell him to go to hell. Then I could fist bump the angel sitting on my right shoulder and get on with doing all the things that God has called me to do. This would change everything. I would discover an unshakable confidence. It wouldn't be borrowed from the ever-changing assessments of others. I would instinctively offer my weaknesses as a platform for God's power instead of typecasting myself as someone God couldn't use due to my endless character flaws. I'd be unstoppable because the devil wouldn't be able to dominate my mind with the kinds of fears that control me a lot of the time. Then I would be able to move forward in faith without being scared of failure or rejection or the sacrifice required to obey God. I'd never again be paralyzed by condemnation or bullied by feelings of unworthiness. And at the end of each day, I would go, And at the end of each day, I would go to sleep in perfect peace. Remember the last week, I think I shared about peace. It's like let the peace of God be there. That peace is like that of a regulator, to where once that, if you're not living in peace and having peace, something has happened in your life. Whether you're not obeying God, or you've done something that has caused you to, caused him to separate himself from you, or you from him, or whatever, So that should be a first indication to us that if you, day in and day out or at night, you lost your peace, it would be very important for you to check out what you just did or didn't do to have God with you. But anyway, let's go on. And at the end of each day, I'd go to sleep in perfect peace, ambient free, because I'd be finishing the day with no shame, no regrets, no need to sew any fig leaves to conceal anything. I'd be nearly immune from discouragement because I would stop wondering if the sky was falling every time I faced a new challenge. I'd see my biggest obstacles as my greatest opportunities, and all the other stuff that you read on Starbucks cups. I guess Starbucks has little things on their cups. Unfortunately, there is no devil on my shoulder. What's worse, there's no angel either. Instead, I've got this ceaseless war going inside of my heart and inside my head. I'm waging it every millisecond of every minute of every hour of every day of every night of every holiday of every weekend. On and on and on. But God is faithful to speak too. Amen. His voice rises from the pages of his word, which is the exact expression of his will. Talked about that, you know, like, what is God's will? There's a lot of things as you read his word that God's will, you know. And there's things in God's words that are precepts or things that you need to do. I read a book just a thing online, and this gentleman was putting that out, is that like a precept, I think. He's talking about it's things that are you follow. It's like, you know, when it says speed limit is 35 miles an hour. If you go 37 miles an hour, what are you doing? You're breaking the speed limit. If there's no approximately 35 miles an hour, it says speed 35. So it's a given. That's what is expected. And then there's the other things of principles and things of that nature I think he was talking about. And he was talking about those are the things where when you come up to a curve and it says, you know, or warnings and this and that, or, you know, hilly area, you know, watch your speed and things like that. Those are just kind of like warnings out there to where what you do is when you come into those situations, the curve or hill, is that you adjust your speed to the conditions that you're in. If it's clear pavement, you can go 55 miles an hour. If the pavement is wet, they might suggest maybe lowering your speed. What do you lower it to? You lower it to whatever is going to help you get through that spot, and you've got to use judgment on that. So anyway, this is some things about wills and powers and things of that nature that we have abilities of. And so when we look at this, he speaks not only on Sunday mornings in the sanctuary where the congregation is gathered, but he's also in the stillness of his work scattered across the night skies. Wow. Just look up there sometime. We've talked about that, and I'm sure some of you have. You know, just seeing those stars twinkling. The term chatterbox is this guy's way, and he says, is my way of representing the lies that we believe that keeps us from accurately and actively hearing God's voice. Accurately and actively hearing God's voice. So how can we even begin to understand this invisible chatterbox? It's quite complicated, as you can imagine. But we have to start somewhere. Jesus says that when the devil lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, and he is the father of all lies. A little bit of Sunday school. That's going to go on for quite a while, I think. You know, lies and truth. Truth and lies, you know. People that tell lies long enough, they begin to believe their lies. However, as I've said in this introduction, our most immediate problem isn't the devil on our shoulder, but it's a deeper reality about the condition of our hearts and our minds. To blame all of our wrong thinking solely on the devil is to ignore obvious practical considerations, scientific facts, and most important, clear biblical teachings. Like this one. The Apostle Paul talks with great openness about something that is at work within him, waging war against his mind and making him a prisoner. He's one of the greatest Christians who's ever lived, talked about an enemy within that is terrorizing his freedom in Christ. And in doing so, he doesn't mention the devil. Rather, he talks about what's happening in his mind. Because it's in the mind that the transmission of God's plan for our lives either succeeds or fails. Because it's in the mind that the transmission of God's plan for our lives either succeeds or fails. So as a man thinks, so is he. You know, what your mind says you can do, you will either be able to do or not do. Think of those guys getting ready for the Olympics. We watch some of these sports. They're like extreme. The snowboarding stuff, you know, X Games. I have no idea how these guys get on these snowboards and they joe up these swallows on these things, you know, and they shoot up 8, 10. Some of these guys are getting like 15 feet in the air, whoosh, spinning, hitting back down and just, you know, oh my. Something in them has to tell them that they can do that. I believe something in their mind has to say, Bill or Jim or whatever your name is, you know, he's saying, I can do it. I've practiced it. I've learned how to do it. I can do it. I don't think any of these guys go down those slaloms or anything like that with defeat already on their mind. Do you? They can't. Because if they got up to that starting gate and said, I'm going to fail. I'm not going to make it. Well, why even step off and go? Because their mind has already said that. It's already created fear in them. Once that fear hits, they go, oh, maybe they're right, you know. They might have listened to maybe somebody that said something about, well, he's new at this and he doesn't have enough experience, or she doesn't know exactly how to do this, or she's new at this, blah, 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 blah. And so it's going to take some time. And down in the future, they might be good, but I just don't think they're going to be able to compete with these athletes of today. If they would listen to that stuff, chances are new athletes that would come up to that starting gate wouldn't go there, because their mind will already say, because their mind has heard other people say, you're going to fail. And so as that gets into their mind, they're already setting themselves up for failure. The devil didn't do it. I don't think the devil's telling these people that, are they? It's just people saying, I don't think you've got enough experience. It's going to take 3 or 4 more years before you could really compete with these people here, because they've been doing it for, you know, 8 years. But every now and then, there's a new person that comes up that's first time out. But they've been practicing, and they've been, you know, on their own, and they've been going whatever, you know. And then probably the most important thing within them is they got the desire within them to say, I can go up against this 8-year reigning champion, or whatever the case, you know, we're talking about sports or the Olympics that's coming up or whatever, and I can go against them and I can win. Wow. You got to have the right mindset to do that. Because they would say, well, this is only your first or second Olympics. How's that going to happen? But there have been some upsets, haven't there? But I generally believe that most of those athletes that go for any sport and go up to those things, they never go up there saying, I'm going to lose. They're going up there saying, I'm going to win. I'm going to give it my all, give it my best. I've been practicing, even though it's been limited compared to that guy for 8 years, but I've been practicing. I've got the same skills and all this type stuff. It's your mindset does a lot. Oh. So because it's in the mind that the transmission of God's plans for our lives either succeeds or fails. This guy came up, and there is a word out there that describes this kind of barrage of things within us. And the more I read this, the more I understood. I don't know about you guys, but I got a chatterbox in me. You know, what's a chatterbox? It's that voice in you that says, you could have done that better. What do you mean doing it that way? Don't you think people looked at you as like, you are limited on abilities? Or they might even look, you know, your chatterbox, and they're saying, you don't look that good in that red skirt or that polo shirt or those jeans or whatever. You need to wear that, or you shouldn't have wore that. Oh, what about your hair? Oh, what do you think your friends and your office staff likes your hair like that? Or see that chatterbox in us all? Is it just me? Tell you what, guys, I've walked out of here on a Sunday morning And that chatterbox is hitting me at the foyer out here saying, you didn't say exactly what you should have said. You didn't really touch and meet them out there with the message that God had for them. I've been in the van going home and telling my wife, I just feel like it was a flop. Thank God for my wife. Because she says, do you believe you shared what God wanted you to? I go, yeah. Then you think God is going to fail in what he wants to do? No. You're right. You're right. But I've got a chatterbox in me that would generally look at the negativity of everything. As much as we talk about we got to have positive thinking and all these things, we do have to have positive thinking. But our thinking is very positive if we set our mind upon the Lord. Because the Lord has good things about us, says great things about us, has great possibilities for us, but it's the world, and then it's not the world, it's the things within us, because we're part of this world, that our conscience begins to say, you can't do that, you should have done that better, you shouldn't have said that, you shouldn't have gone there, you should have stopped that, you should have done this. Man, oh man, oh man. That's that chatterbox. Continually. So could you see how this hit me when I got this little intro to this book? It's like, wow! And there's a little, I think there's a study group session with this, with the DVD for some sessions that I'm looking at. But we'll get into it a little bit more about what this is about too. So anyway, this guy, he says, can you believe that? There's a word out there that helps describe this. This word is a word that means this. Pathologically incoherent, repetitious speech. Babble. Babble. Blah, 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 blah. Incessant, or compulsive talkativeness. Wearisome talk. It just wears you down, basically, to say it. It's just. And you know what is even. Not only does this happen in our minds day while we're up in daytime and going to jobs and sitting at our desk and working, and our mind is somewhere else, and all of a sudden a thought comes in and we're trying to type and this and that, and we're trying to do this, and all of a sudden that chatterbox in us throws in something. It could be Wednesday and you're doing something at work, and all of a sudden something that you did on the weekend hits you. That chatterbox says, how could you have done that to your family? Why didn't you say that to that person? Why did you wear that outfit on Saturday? It's after a while, guys, you begin to think of this. It's like, it's just a lot of just, it's almost like they would talk like white noise, you know, when there's just noise going on. It just takes up your, you're just like, I just don't know. It's just static within me. And I believe that as my chatterbox is trying to control me that day, it interferes with what I need to be hearing from God, because God's got to get through that frequency within my head because of my mind and my thoughts and my thinking, and that all of a sudden I got to realize what was shared in the Word about casting down vain imaginations that exalt themselves against God, that has a way of detracting from Him, me, what I'm to receive from Him. And God will not, I don't think God will normally send just a missile through that confusion to get His thoughts into you. He's told us, I've told you what you've got to do to battle those things. I told you that in my Word it says renewing your mind. How do you renew my mind? By looking at His Word, reading His Word, researching His Word, looking at His Word on what it tells me and how I've got to live today. I've got to look at His Word and find out what does God not like. And when I find out what God does not like, to be like my God, I've got to have that same dislike. Amen? I can't say, well, my God dislikes this, but I live in this world, and the world is part of this, and this is part of the world I'm in, so I'm going to side more with the world. I can't do that. We can't do that. A church can't do that. Once the things around us takes a turn from following his word to following what's popular, what is happening, what the majority are doing, we used to tell that to our kids. Well, so you're following the crowd. So that tells me that if they all, we have all said this, if they jump off the cliff, are you going to follow them? You know, it's like because our kids were already saying that back in school, saying, well, the rest of my class or my group that I hang with, they're doing it. Well, if they go stand in front of a train, are you going to stand in front of a train too? You know, it's we get, and there's that, it's that mob mentality, it's that group mentality that we get into out there individually. Pretty soon, because you get into your groups and things, and as that group is, and that's why it's so important to pay attention to your peers and who's around you and who you're spending time with, because you'll start thinking, what? Just like them. So, anyway, this word, I wish I could have gone online and had it. I've had this thing spoke to me. Have you ever gone to the encyclopedia and hit the thing and let them tell you what it is? The audio version is, but it's like Logoria. Oh my gosh, I forgot our slides. I've been doing all this and I forgot about those. Hey, there you go. This is cool. Okay. Well, there it is. Inexcessive and often incoherent talkativeness or wordiness. You know, have you ever been trying to talk to somebody and you want to find out something, and to get to that point, sometimes they talk like way out here, getting to the point that's way over here, and if you said, all I ask is a question, can't we just go from here to here? Just give me the answer or whatever. As much as I say that, I'm as guilty as anybody else. I'm sure people ask me questions. I've probably had shared 25 minutes of something else that really didn't matter to get to that point. So I'm part of that as well. But just the talkativeness and just a lot of words in there. Well, and of course they say, what, in a day a woman has how many words that she has to get out? You know? Compulsive talkativeness. This guy also said, now he said, I don't take a lot of weight in this, he said, about, you know, you just did a search out there on, but it's on the web, so it's got to be true. That's false. But anyway, he said that there was something he read out there that said that in a day's time in a person, there's like 80,000 type talkativeness or wordiness chatterboxes that takes place 80,000 times a day in a person. Now, that's a lot. That's a lot. 80,000, maybe it's a lifetime. Nah, it can't be that. But anyway, the point of this confusion is, that I've just made, is that there's a lot of, in a day's time, there's a lot of those thoughts in you that don't lead anywhere, that just goes in circles, that just wants to, usually that chatterbox, it's never really to build you up. It's usually to say you're a failure. That you've dropped the ball, that you should have done it better. Remember I said some Sundays I could walk out that back door and get in the foyer and automatically that chatterbox in me says, it just didn't feel right today. You just didn't do what you should have done. And why are you a pastor? How can you be a pastor if you create confusion? And you don't do this. And you got to lay it down, though, you know. But that hits you. Even pastors and all. I was talking to the pastors this past Thursday and, you know, just sharing a little bit about this. And this is why this is so neat about this group as we get together, is that, you know, we talk about books that we've seen or titles or things and what it's about and blah, 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 blah. And one of the other guys said the same thing. It's like, yeah, he goes, you know, I've had some Sundays where as soon as you're done, it's just like you just hear that little thing in you and it's like, oh, boy, blah, blah, blah. And so until you recognize it, the The thing is, you've got to recognize it. And the thing that I'm hoping to do today, and as we get into this, is that we recognize that, because once you recognize something, you can respond to it. Up until then, you know what, until I actually read this guy in the introduction in the first chapter of this book, I really didn't have an understanding. I knew there was always those voices in my head type thing, or that thing within me talking, but I thought it was just me. But I see a lot of people with chatterboxes on their lives, you know. Thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you, sister. Bless you. But it is. And we got to understand that to be able to counteract it. And it's okay, and it's not to say that you're demon-possessed. It's not to say that you're, you know, the devil's got you. It's not any of that. It's not the devil doing any of the stupid stuff. It's just us doing it to ourselves. It's us shooting ourselves in the foot, you know? But you got to know these things. So anyway, that's that word. It's a voice that drones on and on and on, always intimidating, always insinuating. The chatterbox wants to inundate us with this wordless time of talkativeness, to wear us out until we don't want to try, or even or until we have no idea what we do or how to answer our growing list of doubts and deficiencies. My goodness. And it's not just what this chatter says that makes it dangerous. It's what is keeping us from hearing. Most people go through life thinking God never speaks to them, when in fact he is always speaking. And that's sad when I read that. Because you talk to people out there, and bless their hearts, the one of the biggest things upon them, or their one thing they say is, I just wish I could hear from God. I just wish I could have God talk to me. He is. We've got to try to help them understand that he is talking to you. We've got to get rid of that chatterbox. You've got to be aware of that chatterbox and say, get thee behind me, you know, but it's not the devil, but it's just still, get thee behind me, you old dumb old chatterbox. And it does have nothing to do with jitterbug. Chatterbox. In fact, he is always speaking to everyone. He's always directing, and he's sometimes warning us. Sometimes affirming things, but we hear so little of what he says because of our consciousness of his voice is obscured by our mental static. He shared that as like, and I didn't put it in here, but it was like the concept of listening to a radio station. And, you know, we've got to understand that as much as we've got the ability to change from, you know, country western to pop to rock to whatever music, we ought to understand that we can do that same thing within this understanding of getting rid of this chatterbox. You just have to tune in differently and tune into God. We have the ability. Why, if we've got the ability to change, I think his thing was, if I want to change from Miley Cyrus to the Beatles, I can do it by a turn of a dial. And we need to be able to understand, we need to do those things with us. What guidance was God trying to give you today that you didn't hear because it was buried by negative noise? What wisdom did God want to share with you about your future that you've missed because, you know, the background noise, this talkativeness, this just incessant talking within you, sidetracked, or you couldn't hear from God? And then as we wrap this up, and we'll get into some scriptures here in a little bit, God's voice speaks with precision and power. God's voice speaks, and this is taken out of his writings, God's voice speaks with precision and power, inviting us into a way of life that is truly life, and life in abundance, amen. Opposing voices seeks to draw us out of his presence through seduction and deception. Opposing voices, and there's always something. God says this, and you'll feel like there's something opposing that and wants to draw you out this way, not to fulfill what God wants that way. So opposing voices seeks to draw us out of his presence through seduction and deception. and just kind of wrapping up what this is. Now, you know, what I've said is nothing that I've typed in here other than just looking at this guy's book, his introduction and the first chapter that he sent out, and just taking some bits and pieces out of it. But within this study, what comes out of it is four things. Four confessions. And when I saw this, it went back to let go and trust God. Let go and trust God, because God has said wonderful things about you. But the first confession is, God says I am. God says I am, overpowering the lies of the enemy in your insecurities. So in this guy's book and in this study, I think that we're going to go into with the DVDs, and it'll probably be maybe a Sunday morning time frame, is that, you know, working through this, that overpowering the lies of the enemy in your insecurities. How many here have insecurities? I do. We probably all do if we get honest, you know. We get charged with a task to do, and we go, I can't do that. I get charged with being a pastor. I can't do that. You know, I get a promotion at job. Oh, I can't. I don't know exactly if I can handle that. The insecurities. The other confession is that says this: God says He will. Overpowering the lies of the enemy in your fears. So if we look at insecurities and fears that we have in our life, they will hold you back from a lot of things that even God has for you. Because who do you see in the mirror every morning before you go out the door? Me. And as soon as I see myself in the mirror, the chatterbox starts talking. Oh, man. You're getting thin on top. Oh, look at how white that hair is. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. Oh, look at you know. So right away in the very beginning, I mean, we went to bed probably with the chatterbox chattering. We wake up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and it's already hitting us saying, oh, so you've got to do a presentation at work. Ain't no way you're going to be able to do it. You're probably going to mess it up. You won't remember your lines. You won't remember the topic. You won't remember the statistics. You won't remember the numbers. You won't be able to remember this. You're not even going to dress right. You're probably going to put the wrong color tie on. Your shoes aren't going to match. Oh, my. Who is it? I remember this being in the Linda. You guys might. Wasn't it Pastor Borson? Went to the hospital. I don't know, it was like a quick thing to go. I don't know if it was late at night or early in the morning. He got a call to the hospital, jumps in his car, goes down there, you know, after he got dressed, and he's standing in the elevator, I believe the story goes. And I don't know, somebody looked down, or he looked down, and he realized he had two different color shoes on. Remember that, Pat? Was that kind of like close to the story that he was in the elevator? I don't know if somebody mentioned it to him, or he looked down and noticed. I don't know, but it's like, oh! Pardon? They were laughing at him. Oh, well, that'll really make you feel insecure. Oh, here you are. Here you are in the elevator going to see somebody, and you're dressed like Bozo, you know, Ronald McDonald. And they go, oh, what are you? Oh, I'm a pastor. I'm going to pray for somebody. They go, oh, Lord, do you really think you're a pastor? Do you think your God will let you come out of your house looking like that? But that would be that chatterbox. You'd be saying, oh, boy, how can I do that? I'm going to, you know, but knowing Pastor Borson, he was a gem. He was another gem. He would just, it was kind of like he'd just throw his hands up and go, hey, that's what I am, you know. I'm not perfect. But I did have two shoes on. I got to give myself that credit. I love that guy. Oh, my goodness. So, confession one was, God says I am, overpowering the lies of the enemy in your insecurities. Confession two was, God says He will, overpowering the lies of the enemy in your fears. And then the third confession is, God says He has, which is overpowering the lies of the enemy in your condemnation. Most of the times you talk to people and they're being battled down, beaten down, not worthy of God, not worthy of anything that God has for them. A lot of them say, I'm not worthy of going to heaven. They're being not convicted of their sin, but they're being condemned of their sin because themselves are condemning themselves that I'm just not good enough. Well, the truth be known, we already know for us in this place, none of us here were good enough. Because if that's the case, I think heaven will be pretty vacant right about now. And then the last is God says, I can, overpowering the lies of the enemy in your discouragement. So confessions of God says I am, God says he will, God says he has, and God says I can. If we look at those, I believe it's going to help us and encourage us and strengthen us to be able to look in our minds, casting down these vain imaginations, these powers within us that have generally nothing really to do with the devil. Sometimes if it was the devil, we could really react a lot quicker and understand it and take due course with it. But sometimes it's hard to cast yourself out of your own thinking because it's me. And it's that voice within me that just continually, and you know, a lot of that is dumped in there from as you were growing up and maybe what your parents said to you, what you could or couldn't do. Could be what your brothers and sisters said you were going to be or not be, what your friends said growing into high school, what they said, how dumb you looked, how silly you looked, how this you looked, whatever. Anyway, oh, yeah, yeah. What time is it? What? It's Super Bowl's not on until 5:30. You know, as growing up, as we all have been, you know, I was called names. How about you? I was called a name by my best friend, his sister. Big deal. But, yeah, I don't know. But I guess, you know, as you think back, it I don't think it destroyed my life, but it must have made a big enough deposit in my memory that to this day I can remember what they called me. How about you? So we think of these things as, ain't going to bother me. But it doesn't take a lot to be able to create that distortion in you, and you begin to think of these things, and then God has something that he wants to put in you right away. And generally, all of a sudden, I'm thinking about, even right now, I'm trying to talk, and I'm thinking about that word. It wasn't a nasty word and all that. But as I think of those things, we've got to be cautious that we're not missing what God is saying to us. And I believe, you know, there will be some of the enemy involved in that, and not always. And so I'm not saying that the devil is never part of it, but I'm going to say that the devil's not always the entire, all the time part of it. It's just us. The first truth is this: when it comes to hearing God's voice, identity always comes before activity. When it comes to hearing God's voice, identity always comes before activity. And that's a spiritual secret that the chatterbox is going to hope to discover. And then it says this: the voice you believe will determine the future you experience. Wow. That was the end of like chapter one, it said. So the voice you believe will determine the future you experience. Next week what I'll do is I did have some scriptures here. What we would look at a couple of areas of we must recognize his voice. Next is we must listen, or we need to listen to his voice. And then the last is we need to obey his voice. And we'll be looking at those out of like John, out of Exodus, and then out of 1 Samuel. But in God's word, it shares quite a bit about those things of being obedient, hearing his voice, following what he says. And what he says to do, don't do more than what he says to do. You know, what he says for you to accomplish, be happy that you accomplished that. Just don't go, well, if the Lord wanted me to accomplish this, I'm going to take it a little bit further and go this way. Because once you do that, you're disobedient then. It's like, well, remember, a good thing done at the wrong time is a wrong thing. And the Lord, I believe, would say, why did you go further than what I told you to do? All of a sudden, I believe he would say, you took it upon yourself to put yourself in my position, and I didn't say anything about going that. Because then when you get over here and it's not quite in tune with God, maybe the warning that he was telling you to stop there, you didn't hear that warning, so you went over here a little bit further, and you're out of his will, out of his power of blessing you and protecting you. And then all of a sudden you get beat up. And then you go, oh, wait a minute, God, I don't understand this. I was doing exactly what you wanted me to do. And actually, I thought I would do a little bit more to help you, Lord, and I did this. And I got beat up. You know, beat up, not physically, but spiritually, a battle. My peace left me. That regulator of not having peace that passes all understanding of these things. And I began to get worrisome, thinking like, oh. And how many times we have people that do some great things for God, and all of a sudden you talk to them and they say, well, I'm just really worried. I got a lot of anxiety. I'm just not. It's like, well, man, if you're walking in all that type of stuff, you must have gotten out of the will of God. Because when you walk with God and God walking with you and you accomplish things, you should be at peace, joy, all these things day in and day out, right? As we follow God. And I'm not there. I'm working at it, so I'm not perfect. Because there's not every day that I walk in perfect peace or relaxation or joy. But the important thing is, I was going to say guys, but ladies and gentlemen, is that we recognize that God does want us to walk in that peace. He doesn't want to see us running to and fro. He doesn't want us to be concerned. That's why he says, don't even worry about what you're going to eat and have for tomorrow. That's why he says what? Don't even think or worry about tomorrow, because today has enough of its own, right? Just work on today. Don't think that I've got to plan this out and, you know, we got to have like maybe some projections out or whatever, but don't think that I've got to work on it today to get me there for 3 weeks from now, because a lot can change. The Lord would just say, Tim, just focus on February the 2nd. Just on the 2nd, Tim. Do what I've asked you to do that day. Walk in peace that day. Walk in joy that day. When you lay your head down tonight, I will give you some sweet dreams and visions, and I'll just speak to you in your spirit. And then when you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror, don't listen to that chatterbox that's going to say, tomorrow when I wake up and I look and I go, I wonder if Sunday morning was really good. Not good that it puffs me up, but good that it helped people. Good that it accomplished what God's word wants to accomplish in helping us develop stronger relationships, stronger bonds, stronger ties to him, so that we're not tied into this world that is dying and falling apart and going down the tubes, you know, going down that slalom, whatever. But anyway, we'll look at some of these scriptures, and it's only three that I had, and we'll kind of visit on them a little bit. Because the one thing in closing this out, and I will just read a snippet of it, and that's it. No, you can't even say you'd give $1,000 to the church. I won't go any further. Nope. You can't even say, I'll fill your fuel oil tank or your LP tank. No, it says this. God is a good God. He desires only his best for you. God is a good God. He only desires his best for you. All the other negativity, all the other insecurities, all the other things or whatever, it's that voice inside of you saying, you're not worthy of it. You can't attain it. It's not possible. Let's stand.